your plans were secret when you left your office last night and you closed the door behind you. Were you walking in your sleep or were you just too tired to notice all the watchful eyes upon you? There's the man who does the maintenance and the maid who cleans the carpets in the hall. And the guard down in the lobby through a hidden TV camera saw it all.
And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Esker. Tom Esker. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Esker, here in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, transmitting to the world. Not Hawaii. This is Terrible Tommy in the bunker right here in north central Indiana with a very heavy frost this morning. It was down, I think it was in the high 20s this morning, and that's getting pretty cool. A lot of people around here are pulling out. I think half the town go to Florida around here. They've been doing that for a long time, but I believe that maybe all the people but me go to Florida. November the 22nd. We're coming down to the wire on this November thing. And we got a couple of days to go for a gobble gobble day. Yeah. And that's where we go out and murder turkeys. Gotta murder something, so we'll murder turkeys. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where not only you send your own donation in, but you go out and find new people, sign them up. Let's get this thing going. We need more and more people on here, and you're just the person to do it, too. Yeah. Well, let's see what we're going to do today, boys and girls. Let's go out and play. I see they're considering this general, this four-star general, for the head of the Pentagon. Now, that's an interesting situation with Donald. That is a very interesting situation. This guy is supposed to be a no-nonsense general. I do believe that career generals are less likely to wade into a new war than civilians. I think civilians are far more dangerous when it comes to deciding on going to war. As you have seen over the last 40 years. So maybe a general in there who knows what he's doing and knows how to do it and doesn't want to waste any more lives than he has to might be a good thing. But however, we'll have to wait and see, because you never know about these things. How about that ISIS? Those guys are really hanging in there over in Iraq. I mean, you got to give them credit. They're dug in deep, and they're having one hell of a time going block to block to block to try and get them out of there. So no matter how you feel about the political aspirations or religious aspirations of ISIS, they got the balls, and they got the fanaticism, and that's important. Well, the National Policy Institute, a think tank that is part of the alt-right movement that includes neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and anti-Jews, held a gathering at the federally owned Ronald Reagan building on Saturday, November the 19th. And the Jews are very upset about it. Well, at least some Jews. You know, they don't walk in lockstep. I've met some real anti-Jew Jews in my day. The alt-right movement came to the fore during the U.S. presidential election. President-elect Donald Trump has drawn criticism for naming Steve Bannon, former head of the website linked to the alt-right, as his chief White House strategist. Trump's transition team issued a statement on Monday saying Trump has continued to denounce racism, CNN reported. Well, he's denouncing his father then, if he's denouncing racism. That's too bad. President-elect Trump has continued to denounce racism of any kind, and he was elected because he will be a leader of every American, unquote. Trump Pence transition spokesman Byron Lanza said in a statement. The gathering on Saturday drew scores of protesters who blocked traffic around the building to express their outrage over the meeting. That's good. That's what I tell you. This is wonderful. We want them in the streets by the thousands, maybe burning down something. A video by The Atlantic magazine, I guess, taken inside the conference, showed Richard Spencer, leader of the National Policy Institute, shouting, quote, "Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory!" unquote, as some of the people in attendance lifted their hands and arms in a, actually, it's a Roman salute, but the Nazis, National Socialists, used it. Quote, "The Holocaust did not begin with killings, it began with words," unquote, the Holocaust Memorial Museum said in a statement on Monday, November 21st. Quote, "The museum calls for all American citizens, our religious and civic leaders, and leadership of all branches of the government to confront racist thinking and divisive, hateful speech," unquote. How are they going to do that? Huh? Confront racist thinking? Well, maybe racist thinking isn't talking, so how do you know they're thinking racist? Some of those who attended the nationalist meeting later gathered for a banquet at Mazzirano's Little Italian Restaurant in Northwest Washington, which is obviously a fascist hangout. They probably got Mussolini busts all over the place. Protesters converged on the site and prompted the restaurant to close to protect the safety of the staff and guests. The management said in an apology on Facebook, well, you know, behind the scenes, the management saying, those goddamn demonstrators are ruining our business. But some of the idiots will probably say, well, those right-winger guys are doing it. The restaurant said the booking was a last-minute affair made under a different name, so staff were unaware that the National Policy Institute was dining there and did not know what the group represented. Well, this has happened for decades and decades. We've gone through this to where people try to have a meeting, and one creep will call the press or call somebody and call the and bring a few of his buddies down there and demonstrate, and they throw you out or get you out of the place. It's a very cowardly way to do politics. I was always hoping that when these things happened, the people would go into the streets and beat the shit out of these people. And I have done it a couple of times. It works. Once they get beaten a little bit, they don't come back. I remember Castro Valley back in the 70s. I think it was the 70s or 80s or something. Way back there sometime. The creeps came out. We had we rented a American Legion hall to have a meeting. We had about 100 people there. And the Progressive Labor Party, I love that word, progressive, Progressive Labor Party, Marxist, came out, started throwing rocks at the building. Okay. And I went to the door and saw him out there, and I told my chief of security, Ed Letson, I said, let's clean these bastards out. And we had helmets on and everything and baseball bats. We liked baseball bats, or maybe a golf club too, and we ran them off. Well, about a half an hour went by and they came back again. And, well, the first time I didn't go out, that's it. The second time I did it. When they came the second time, I said, Letson, when I say clean them out, clean them out. And everybody roared into this parking lot and beat the crap out of those Marxists. And the reason we were able to do it undisturbed was because it just happened that the police department or sheriff's department in the area was out with blue flu. They were sort of having a little strike. They were pissed off about working conditions, so they didn't show up. Well, whenever they don't show up, the cops don't show up, our forces, people who feel like we do, usually beat the crap out of the opposition. See, they depend on the system to protect themselves, even though they say they hate the system. They depend on the system to save them from the big, bad white supremacists. Incidentally, I've never heard any white leader, white racial leader, refer to himself as a white supremacist. It may have happened, but I've never heard it. This is purely a news-created word, like a lot of these other words. Quote, after the event, the attendee sent a tweet in which she made a Sieg Heil salute in support of Hitler and white supremacy. This expression of support of Hitler is extremely offensive to us, as our restaurant is home to teammates and guests of every race, religion, and cultural background, the Facebook post said. Well, isn't that nice? The restaurant apologized to the surrounding neighborhood and said it was donating the profits from its sales on Friday, $10,000, to the Washington Office of the Anti-Defecation League, a Kike civil rights group. Yeah, right. Enforcers is what they are, the Anti-Defamation League. Yeah, everybody in Washington is scared to death of them. Not as much as they used to be, you know, because getting to be so many Islamics in this country that hate their guts that they're not doing as much as they used to. Well, anyhow, you're free. You're still free in America. And if you want to Sieg Heil or if you want to love Hitler, you're free to do it. I don't think it's a wise thing at the moment, not from being cowardly, but because I think tactically and judging from all that went on back at that time, it's not the best role model, but everybody's free to do what they want to do. The Ronald Reagan Building, the biggest structure in the U.S. capital city, is federally owned but run by the Trade Center Management Associates, a unit of the Drew Company, a Boston real estate development company. Boy, that's a mouthful. The firm defended allowing the nationalist group to use the venue. It said in a statement that its contract mandates that unless there is a security threat by an organization or person who asks for the meeting space, the building is available for rental. See, the threat comes from the outside, comes from the filthy creeps in the street. The agenda of the National Policy Institute Saturday meeting included a breakdown of the 2016 election and plans for the growth of the alt-right. The nonprofit Southern Poverty Law Center, if they're a nonprofit, how come they pay income taxes? I think that they're totally wrong there. I think the Southern Poverty Law Center is not nonprofit. Anyhow, which tracks hate groups, describes Spencer as an academic racist who backs creation of an Aryan homeland. Oh, terrible, terrible. Can't have that. We need a nigger homeland, Islamic homeland, Asian homeland, but don't talk about an Aryan homeland, white homeland. Twitter Incorporated suspended several accounts linked to the alt-right last week, including Spencer's. Huh, you see? You see how democratic this country is? They call it democratic bullshit. Democracy never worked in the first place. I hear him talking about democracy, the greatest system ever invented. Well, it didn't even work in Greece. It only lasted a little short while and collapsed. So democracy is not that good a government. A republic, I guess, is about as close as you can get, or a benevolent dictator. At least with one benevolent dictator, if you don't like him, you can knock him off. The move followed the microblogging service's announcement that it would upgrade some features to better combat cyberbullying. So free speech now is cyberbullying. How about that? Uh-huh. Cyberbullying is free speech. Well, here's Spencer's speech at this meeting. It won't last very long.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory! No one will honor us for losing gracefully. No one mourns the great crimes committed against us. For us, it is conquer or die. The mainstream media, or perhaps we should refer to them in the original German, Lügenpresse. It's not just that they are leftist and cucks. It's not just that many are genuinely stupid. Indeed, one wonders if these people are people at all, or instead soulless golem, animated by some dark power to repeat whatever talking point John Oliver stated the night before. To be white is to be a striver, a crusader, an explorer, and a conqueror. We build, we produce, we go upward. And we recognize the central lie of American race relations. We don't exploit other groups. We don't gain anything from their presence. They need us and not the other way around. Within the very blood in our veins, as children of the sun, lies the potential for greatness. That is the great struggle we are called to. We are not meant to live in shame and weakness and disgrace. We were not meant to beg for moral validation from some of the most despicable creatures to ever populate the planet. We were meant to overcome all of it, because that is natural and normal for us. The press has clearly decided to double down and wage war against the legitimacy of Trump and the continued existence of white America. But they are really opening up the door for us. America was, until this past generation, a white country designed for ourselves and our posterity. It is our creation. It is our inheritance. And it belongs to us.
Now, here is a debate on the street between Spencer and a big fat 350-pound Negro. I'm a little confused at the debate myself. It's a little odd.
They're becoming whiter and whiter. The Republican Party becomes whiter and whiter year by year.
Doesn't seem to be that way if you got folks like Marco Rubio around.
Up on the stage.
They almost made. They was pushing for him to be president.
He's
decided to do this
Trump
Hail Mary. He's effectively Cuban.
Effectively Cuban? What does that even mean?
It means he's Cuban!
Why are you yelling?
Because you're funny and I want to make sure everybody hears it.
Do you understand the difference between a nation state and a race? Is that
I understand the difference.
Then why are you
screaming So you do realize that European is a different
race. I don't
race.
Like Marco Rubio.
And I know that's the point. That
okay.
is the point.
You seem to just change your argument every time.
No. I'm pretty much on course,
I want you to
man.
Be like, what do you think is going to happen to the alt-right, Gerald?
I already know what's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Been here
are we
going to
fall? Oh, really? What's
yes,
going to happen? It's going to be like 45?
We all know it's going to be
all,
yeah, pretty much.
We all know
much.
What's going to happen?
Pretty yeah,
much.
It's going to be
we're
pretty
gonna,
much like...
We're going to all die.
No, let me take that back. It's not going to be like 45 because you're not even going to get that far.
That's right.
You'll be lucky if it's 1965 for you guys. I mean, when you look at all the WP groups that have came along over the past 16 years, they all seem to fall apart. You guys got to sneak around and have your conferences with nom de guerres and fake names.
Gerald, I agree that this movement has not been successful in the post-war period. That's clear. We've had some great individuals, but as a mass movement, we have not accomplished what we wanted to. The conservative movement has accomplished quite a bit. They're $1 billion enterprise. They're a movement I don't agree with much of what they say. They've had their day. They are going down as a movement. They have no legitimacy. They have no new ideas. It's just a bunch of old farts. We're going to have our day. We are young. We are more powerful. We're rising. You can say that I'm wrong, and I don't care.
Ironically, here's what makes you wrong. You have to basically embrace diversity to advance yourself. Milo is a gay Jewish man. That
Milo's not part of the
alt-right. I'm just giving this an example because he embraces the alt-right, for lack of a better term. By the way, alt-right is his term. It's not really. They're neo-Nazis and racists, even though they don't want to call themselves that. But it doesn't exactly work politically. So they give themselves cute names like alt-right, identitarian, race realist, racialist. But anyway, I think you need a drink after all this.
No, it's just kind of boring.
Luckily, I don't drink, so I'm pretty cool on this.
Yeah.
I see your video.
But I'm not shutting them down.
Yeah, you've been really successful.
Well, you're hiding in the woods in Nashville. I have been pretty successful at that.
That's a great
remember
place
when you,
to do a conference. I do conferences
you know what,
in downtown
actually, I
Washington.
Do my, yeah, yeah, but see
yeah,
how much
have you been successful at shutting me down?
See how much that's going to
go on.
What? You saw what happened at CPAC? You saw a bunch of losers. Sure, you saw more people at CPAC.
Our attendance grows by 75%
and
every
so
year.
And so does ours. It's only a matter of time before you drop. You can't even go into Hungary, they hate you so much.
That means you're doing something right.
No, it means you're doing something that is annoying everyone, and they don't want you to do it in their country. It's amazing to me how you want to invade. Huh?
Have you been banned from a country?
No, I've never been banned from a country.
You are basically the shock troops of the establishment. You have the
wow,
exact same,
I'm a shock troop to the establishment. Amazing how things change.
The
because there will be no way I could have ever been the establishment just 5 years ago. I mean, come on, man. There is no establishment here. You're more of an establishment multimillionaire than I am.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm not really part of the establishment.
You're more of the establishment. You started in the establishment. You was in the beltway until they realized that you was a little bit poisonous, and then they kicked you to the curb. You're much more of the establishment than I ever was. That's why you can get people like Tila Tequila to come to your events.
You're really obsessed with Tila.
I think it's the funniest thing in the world.
It is kind of funny.
It's downright comical. You know I'm going to be there, right?
You'll fail to shut us down. Like you.
No. Now I'm at the point where whatever happens, happens. If it doesn't shut down, so be it.
I'll just keep going to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Gerald.
While you guys keep saying that you're growing and growing and growing,
get a life,
while
Gerald.
Pretending that you are.
We literally are. Thank you. Yeah. I like nice things.
Go to your cocktail meeting, man. Go get your drink on. Go get your drink on. Just go ahead and do what you gotta do.
I want to go to this cocktail party. It sounds
drink
really
up, wow. Baby. Just do
who's
your thing.
The cocktail party?
I can't tell.
See, he can't yeah. even tell.
The sons of Hitler.
He can't even tell.
He can't even tell you. They understand what it is.
That was a big fat guy doing all the talking. Black guy. He's weighs about 350 pounds. Spencer's out there. Spencer's out there. Trying to debate with this guy, and it's a waste of time. I don't think we ever hardly debated at all in the street. We fought in the street. We'd come to something and we'd be attacked and we'd fight back and we'd either beat them or they'd beat us. But most of the time we beat them. But this is a waste of time. A white man, proud white man, standing there debating in the street with a big nigger. And this nigger, Daryl, I forget what his last name is, but I run into him on the internet years ago. He's been around. He works for a real Marxist left-wing group, and I can't remember the name, but you guys have been around a while may know. He goes around to everything, tries to get into every meeting, and it's just this is just bullshit stuff, and it's a waste of time, and if you're going to go there, let them attack you and then beat the shit out of them and leave, or don't talk to them at all. I think sometimes silence is more power than trying to debate with some of these people. You're not going to change their mind, and evidently they're not going to change your mind, so what the hell is the use? Just open yourself up to possible assassination or arrest or to be beaten badly and like that. I would like to know a little bit more about this Spencer. The black guy's intimated he comes from the system. I wonder where he does come from. There's a lot of these people in the right wing that have risen up that I've never heard of, never had any contact with them or anything else. So a lot of them could be false flags that are just set up to do what they do. Keep a lot of white people in the right wing and keep them milling around and having little coffee clutch speeches and the whole bit. Now, everybody that was at this meeting was obviously photographed by not only the creeps, as they always do, but the systemite themselves, the FBI, local police, everything else. So they've got you right there in a list, and if you do decide to become an active whatever, they got you nailed before you even get off the ground. So it's not a lone wolf thing to hang around these kind of things. But this guy seems to be just a new version of David Duke, and that approach to things, which never really goes anywhere. Well, the Rwandan bishops of Negro Rwanda, Roman Catholic bishops, have issued an apology for the role played by individual clergy and church members in the 1994 genocide in which nearly 1 million ethnic Tutus and Hutus were killed. Oh, well, that makes it all go away. On Sunday, the apology was read aloud in all Catholic churches in local Kinyarwanda dialect. It came at the end of Pope Francis' Jubilee Year of Mercy. they put a, what was it, hundreds of thousands of them in a soccer stadium and then shot them and macheted them to death. On Sunday, November 20th, the apology was read aloud in all Catholic churches in the local Kinyarwanda dialect. I just read that. Stupid. We apologize for some church members and clergy people dedicated to serving God and the Christians who played a role in the genocide, unquote. The statement signed by the country's 9 bishops said, well, that's nothing new. The Catholic Church has been involved in genocide for hundreds of years, thousands of years. So they're just like they always were, only now they got the blacks involved. In the past, the church has been accused of having played a role in the killings. It is also accused of having helped create the structures after independence from France that finally resulted in the genocide. But the bishop said the denomination did not send any priest or church member to kill. Key word, since, did not send. What about going voluntarily? Although some of its members planned, aided, and executed the genocide. Bishop Philip Rakamba, chairman of the Episcopal Conference of Rwanda, was quoted as saying the bishops agreed that the church played a role in the genocide. What would Jesus say? Well, he'd say, bring them before me and kill them, like it says he says in the Bible. Quote, our position is clear. We are against any hatred. We are against genocide, and the announcement shows our position on the 1994 genocide, he said. What a pile of bullshit that is. In the last 2 decades, human rights activists and survivors had put pressure on the church to apologize, and it'll all go away. 1 million people killed. Just apologize, it'll all go away. Nobody goes to prison. Nobody's a war criminal. Nobody's a genocidalist. They just apologize. You got to apologize. They argued that people fled to the churches hoping to be saved, only to be killed there by the militiamen in the churches. Christian militiamen. The apology is being seen as a crucial development that joins the government and the church in efforts to heal the tiny East African country, which continues to struggle with deep divisions 22 years after the genocide. Well, there'll probably be another genocide one of these days. The Catholic Church of Rwanda has taken seriously the just-concluded Year of Mercy, looked into the past and done what it needed, repented, and asked for forgiveness, unquote, said Reverend Don Bosco of Anyala, a priest of the South Sudan and a lecturer at Tanzaganza University College in Nairobi, Kenya. Jean Damascene Bizimana, head of the National Commission for the Fight Against Genocide, welcomed the apology and called on priests and nuns who committed the killing, to come out and apologize. Well, it's all over. Yeah, they apologize. I apologize. 1 million people dead. That's okay. I mean, you know, we just didn't read the Bible right. I guess so. Here's another case of a Negro ape killed a beautiful white mother and her 2 children. He was convicted to the death penalty in 2006 and he's just now going to be iced in the next few days.
Every team.
Keke Gray will be executed on January 18th, 2017. That is what a judge here at Richmond Circuit Court. Executed on January 18th, 2017. That is what a judge here at Richmond Circuit Court ruled this morning. The judge, Gray's attorneys, and representatives from the Commonwealth's Attorney's Office were all part in today's hearing via a conference call. Now, Gray has spent a decade on death row after he was convicted of murdering Brian and Catherine Harvey and their two young daughters, Stella and Ruby. On New Year's Day 2006, the Harveys were found bound, beaten, and stabbed inside the basement of their home in Woodland Heights. That home was also set on fire. Now, earlier this month, the U.S. Supreme Court denied Gray's petition to hear his case, yet claimed he didn't get a fair trial because his lawyers didn't tell the jurors he was high on PCP at the time of the killings. Now, we spoke to our legal analyst, Todd Stone, about why it took so long to finally get an execution date after he was sentenced to death back in 2006.
In the justice system, we have so many rules in place to govern the appellate process to make sure that they receive due process. And, you know, here, yes, it's been a long time, but they've been running the course of the appeals. Because what if you incarcerate an innocent person, you can release them. But if you put someone to death and later find out that they're innocent, then, you know, you can't fix the mistakes.
Now, Virginia state law allows Gray to choose his method of execution, so he can choose between lethal injection or electrocution. And the state does say they have the drug necessary should he choose lethal injection. Working for you in Richmond, I'm Claudia Rupsich, CBS 6 News.
Well, let's listen to what a black guy has to say about it. This guy's got his own radio show or something, maybe his TV show. He's got an opinion they might be interested in.
Today is Wednesday, November the 16th, 2016, and Twitter has just engaged in a great purge of many of the leading alt-right figures on their platform, the most notable of which was a man named Richard Spencer. Now, Richard Spencer, he's well-known in the alt-right circle. He does a lot of stuff over at AMRN, American Renaissance, and other places. He's like a white nationalist. His whole thing is to advocate for the good of the white European race. Now, some would say that's like being a Nazi. You know, you can't advocate for being white. That's somehow a bad thing. But my thing is, why is it a bad thing? Why is that bad? I mean, if we're going to be able to allow other groups to have their nationalists, like you got Black Lives Matter, that's a central black group, and there's all kind of black organizations, the NAACP, the United Negro College Fund, the Congressional Black Caucus, all kind of little black groups you have, black websites, black theme this, black theme that. Matter of fact, I've been on black podcasts. Shout out to my man Obsidian. I've been on different black platforms. I've been involved with black groups. I had a black ad agency. I don't understand why we can have our things that are black. Mexicans can have theirs, like La Raza and stuff like that. Asians can have their own thing. But when whites do it, it's all of a sudden the hate crime. I don't get it. Now, me personally, I'm not going to be an advocate for white nationalism. If that's what they want to do, that's their business. But I'm saying the hypocrisy is whites can have their own little groups, but all other races can. And really, it speaks to a sense of either just straight hypocrisy, do as I say, not as I do, or just inferiority, a sense of inferiority. You know, you feel like whites are the top and they control everything already, so they can't have a white specific group. That means you think that you're inferior if you're not white. That's my opinion about that. Now, me, I don't feel inferior or superior to anybody. And I feel like if we're going to have certain rules and certain groups, then we can't be hypocritical and say, okay, you're black, you can have this group that is black centered, but if you're white, you can't. That doesn't make any sense to me. And Twitter is being extremely partisan, you know, because you got Jack, who's like the CEO, or he was the CEO, now he's the CEO again. I'm not really sure what's going on with the politics of that situation. But Jack has been openly partisan and helpful to Black Lives Matter, right? He's been seen with the leader, or the so-called leader, the most visible figure in Black Lives Matter, and DeRay McKesson. you know, wearing a similar shirt. I think it's even this thing on Twitter called Black Birds. You know, it's like this organization or like this little group of people that are black on Twitter and they advocate for social issues. So Twitter itself can create a black centered group, but it'll ban white centered groups or people that are affiliated with white centered groups. It doesn't make any sense, but you know, it makes perfect sense if you understand that Twitter is very partisan. They're going to advocate for non-white people and go against those that are proponents of being white. That's just pretty much what it is. And this comes just a few hours after Steve Bannon was introduced as the White House chief strategist because of his affiliation with the alt-right. So anybody associated with the alt-right, or you get banned right away. And this is after Milo Yiannopoulos got banned from Twitter, who was also affiliated with the alt-right. And Milo, I mean, you can't get no more of a minority than that, but he still is white at the end of the day when you look at him, because he's a minority as far as his actual designation, because he's a Catholic, gay, conservative, Greek, Jew, right? He's Jewish ethnically because his mother is Jewish, but he's Catholic religion wise. That's how he was raised, and he's gay. So, I mean, Twitter says they want to, you know, be champions of the minority, et cetera, et cetera, except for if you're white. If you're white, then you're just white. There is no minority status. They don't care if you're gay. They don't care if you're a Jewish guy. It doesn't really matter. You're still white in their eyes. Anybody that's white, well, you pretty much just fair game. Anybody that's black or non-white, oh, it's all good. I think that's unfair treatment as a black person. I don't want extra treatment. I just want to be treated the same as everybody else. Judge me the same as you would judge everyone else. Don't look at me as some kind of special snowflake because of my skin color. You know, if I do something wrong, and call me out on it. If I'm speaking incorrectly, call me out on it. Whatever it is, don't hold me to a lower standard because I'm black. That's the way it should be. And a lot of these government programs seek to enforce the opposite. And people like Jack from Twitter seek to enforce the opposite. And I think that's a form of bigotry in itself. It's the bigotry of low expectations and of a higher ranking of white people than other people that aren't white. And it's whack. And what's funny about this whole situation is they want to ban people from the alt-right or people that are affiliated with the alt-right, allegedly, but they don't want to blame anybody that's talking about rape Melania. Matter of fact, they let rape Melania trend on Twitter. You know, I saw it on the side where it says rape Melania, because you had some so-called feminists or activists outside of Trump Tower with rape Melania signs. They let that rock. You know, they just let that go. Man, on Twitter, you also have pure pornography on Twitter. I mean, you can just watch hardcore porn right there on Twitter. That doesn't get banned. The people that say rape Melania don't get banned. The people that say they want to kill Donald Trump in mass don't get banned, as far as I know. If I'm wrong about that, let me know in the comments below. But people that really engage in truly subversive and threatening, life-threatening activity on Twitter are somehow given the pass. But if you're affiliated with the alt-right, if you want to advocate for the will and for the good of your people, then that's somehow enough to get you banned from the platform. But you see, the thing about Twitter is that they may fall eventually anyway. I saw an article that said Vine has fallen, and Vine is a Twitter product, and Twitter may eventually fall as well. They were going to get acquired by Disney, but they did not get acquired because of how controversial and just messed up it is. They didn't want that to ruin their brand. I mean, think about Disney. You have acquired a platform that you can see hardcore porn on. You can see people getting banned left and right. It causes a lot of controversy. It seems like Twitter is always in the news for a negative reason, so they wouldn't want that affiliated with their brand. And eventually, if you're not able to get acquired, you may end up failing due to not being able to meet up with your demand of the business that you have. I know they have like sponsor ads and whatnot now, but they might not necessarily be enough to keep them afloat into the future. And at the end of the day, you can ban us all you want. I mean, you could ban people that are affiliated with conservatism, that are not affiliated with leftism, and that's fine. At the end of the day, people are just going to rebel against you. And there's other ways for the alt-right message to get out. There's other ways for non-liberal points of view to get out to the public. I mean, many of us are on forums. Shout out to Reddit. Shout out to 4chan. You guys are doing great work out there. I see y'all. But there's a lot of forums. I mean, you got Facebook, and if Facebook will ban you, you still got other platforms and other ways to get the message out there. You know, on Twitter, I only got about maybe about 3,000 people following me. And shout out to all of y'all. I love all of y'all on Twitter. But on YouTube, I got about 70,000 people. Twitter is not going to be the end all be all. And at the end of the day, if you keep banning people from the network, if you keep doing hypocritical things, you're going to create a backlash and your ability to monetize is not even really that tight. So you may end up failing just because of some other stuff, because of some back-end company stuff, rather than how you are being draconian in your banning practices. So that's pretty much all I got for it. You know, Twitter, shout out to y'all. You know, this is just kind of silly that you're going to ban people from the alt-right. If you're going to ban people, then be equal here. Don't ban Milo because of the whole Leslie Jones kerfuffle. Don't ban people from the alt-right because of the Steve Bannon kerfuffle. Ban people that say rape Melania. Ban those that say they want to kill Donald Trump. Maybe ban some of that pornography on there because it's no kind of age gate or nothing like that. You can have little kids get on Twitter and then they can just see whatever they want to see right in front of them, except for what you feel personally offended by. If you're going to have censorship, let it make sense. Let the rules make sense. That's pretty much all I got to say. Twitter, if you got terms of service, follow them. Don't let it be selective. And anybody that's on Twitter that's been banned, Richard Spencer and everyone else, hey, you got a lot of support out there. You still got your websites, your forums and everything else. You'll still be able to do whatever you do. Twitter's just a little bump in the road. It ain't really nothing. So what do you think? Do you think that it was a good thing for Twitter to ban Richard Spencer and the other accounts that I listed in the article in the box below? I mean, was that a good thing? What good will it actually do for the platform going forward? Or was it a bad thing for them to suspend them? Do you think it's hypocritical that they ban them and not people that say rape Melania and assassinate Trump? Whatever your comments are, let me know in the comments below. That's all I got to say for this video. If you like what you heard, please comment, rate, share, and subscribe. Peace.
Well, there's not many blacks around like that. Once in a while, they contact me, but that was very interesting. Well, that's about it for today. I'll be back tomorrow, Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day, and we'll look around for some more things to get excited about. 14 words. 5 words. I have nothing to say.
Now, you wouldn't know it from some of the things I've said over the years, but I like people. I do. I like people, but I like them in short bursts. I don't like people for extended periods of time. I'm all right with them for a little while, but once you get up past around minute and a half, I gotta get the fuck out of there. And my reason is for one that you may share, possibly. I have a very low tolerance level for other people's stupid bullshit, okay? Stupid bullshit.